all of a sudden, one of them said, wait a minute, I think I know where we are, and we're near the house, the home of a Yid who's the manager for a Poritz who lives in a town by himself. Yeah, right. I know who he is. I think he lives very close by. Let's go over to his house and ask if he can go in, because it's just so cold and we're so tired and hungry. And another chassid said, yeah, but he's probably sleeping. It's so late. And yes, they said, we don't want to disturb somebody, but we don't think we can make it to the next town where our Rebbe is. This has been such a difficult trip. And they said, look, if somebody came to our house in the middle of the night and they were in big trouble and they were starving and they were hungry and cold, wouldn't we open the door for them? Wouldn't we be glad to wake up for them, to help them? Well, we're sure this Yid would do the same for us because it's so difficult for us. Let's just go and give it a try. And now, Kinalach, they found the house. They found the Yid's house. Oh, Baruch Hashem, a mezuzah on the door. A big mezuzah. Okay, let's knock on the door. And, Kinalach, they knock on the door. No answer. Well, let's go knock on the window. Maybe all the thunder and all the wind is making too much noise, and the Yid can't hear. And they start knocking on the window. Bang, bang, bang. No answer. Do you know what was going on, Kinalach? I'm very sorry to tell you, but this is what was going on. The Yid inside woke up. And at first he thought he's just hearing a bunch of noises from the storm. But all of a sudden he says, no, somebody's banging on my window. And his wife says, who's banging on the window in the middle of the night? I don't know. Why don't you get up and look out the window and see who it is? And he goes over and he peeks out the window and he sees this group of Hasidim covered with mud and rain and wet. And he says, oh, it's a whole group of Yidden outside. And his wife says, what are they doing here so late at night? I don't know. It looks like they're caught in the storm. It looks like they want to come into our house. Come into our house in the middle of the night? And she peeks out the window. Oh, they're all covered with mud. If they come into our house, they're going to get everything all muddy and dirty. And we're going to have to make a fire to warm them up. Yeah, we're going to have to give them food also and tea. Oh, we're so tired. What a big job in the middle of the night to do all of that for them. And they're going to make our house all muddy and we have to fix food and probably make them beds. They'll get all the sheets all muddy too. Yeah. Let's go back to sleep.
Yeah, let's go back to sleep.
And they went back to sleep. And all of the knocking and all of the banging on the door or at the window. Now, Kinalach, I mean, they did not open the door for these people that were in trouble. Of course, you know, their mind told them mud and, you know, food and bother and all of this and all of that. But Kinalach, they left the Hasidim out in the cold and the rain and the mud and the wind and the ice. And they left them outside. They did not open the door. And the Hasidim said, well, they're not here, I guess. And one of the Hasidim said, you know, I think they are here. It looked like I saw some people looking out the window, peeking out the window, but they don't want to open. And the other Hasidim says, no, I don't believe it. That they wouldn't open the door? No, I don't think they wanted to open the door for us. Malkinalach, the Hasidim had no choice but to continue throughout the rest of the night in the mud and the storm and the ice. And finally, with the last ounces of their koyach, they reached their Rebbe's town. And they found over there the place to stay. Probably they had a little place to stay over there. And in the morning, they went to their Rebbe. And the Rebbe was glad to see them. And he saw that they were so tired. and like so worn out. And he asked them, how was your trip coming here? Well, they didn't really want to tell him exactly what happened because they felt so bad about the Yid not opening up the door. But in the conversation and in the speaking to the Rebbe, it came out exactly what happened, that they were traveling through the night, they were caught in a storm, they tried to stop in the house of this Yid, who was the manager for the Paretz, and the door would not open up. And of course, the Chassidim were Chassidim, so they wanted to be Malamed L'chaf Schus, which means, if you don't know what a person is doing, you try to look on the good side of things. So they said, well, you know, maybe they had a good reason not to open the door. And the Rebbe said, this Yid is going to need a Kohen. Now, you know what that means? What it means is, like in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if a person was Tameh, you remember there were certain kinds of Tumah, like Tumas Meis, or even Tzaras. How did the person become Toher, clean, Baruchnias? These were Ruchniastic things that a person became Tameh, unclean in his neshama. Who was the one through which they became clean? You know who it was? Who was it?
A Kohen,
that's right. The Kohenim would do certain things, Halakha things, to make the person Halakha again. And the Rebbe said that this person is going to need a Kohen, which means he's Tomei. In other words, something is not so good over here. Something happened that's not so good. Baruch Nias, the Rebbe saw. Okay, Kinalach, we'll have to continue tomorrow. It is late. This is a very important story. It wasn't the one I was going to tell you, because I didn't even tell my class ever this story. Usually I tell my class first the stories, right, kiddies? But because this happened today, I saw it was important to start the story. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue what's going on in this Maisa. It's because it's not over yet. Okay. I'm very proud of the boys today in the lunchroom. Because when I came in, it was much better than any other day for a long time. Now, the last thing we heard was the Chassidim went to their Rebbe, and his name was Reb Chaim. And the Rebbe said that the Yid, who did not let them in the freezing cold storm, in the rain, in the end will need a Kohen. And we explained to you that means that something is wrong, Baruch Nias, and he is going to be, or he already is, in trouble because of his not letting in the Chassidim in the freezing cold rain. A few weeks later, one day, there comes into the shul of the tzaddik of the Rebbe, Reb Chaim. His name was Reb Chaim, the manager of the Paretz. Remember the manager of the Paretz? And he comes in one day crying into the shul of the Rebbe, and he says, I have to see the Rebbe. I need a bracha. I'm in big trouble. And the Chassidim there, and some of them were the Chassidim that were visiting the Rebbe that came in the rain and the storm, they remembered that the Rebbe had said that the manager of the Paretz would need a Kohen. And it looks like there's trouble here. They didn't say anything. I mean, they felt bad for this man. He comes in crying into the shul, I need the Rebbe. I need the Rebbe. And they arranged that the manager should see the Rebbe, Reb Chaim. And he goes in and he says, Rebbe, Rebbe, I'm in big trouble. The parents wants to throw me out of my house. He got angry over a small thing. He got upset. And he got very upset about something that I did. And I tried to fix it. And I tried to explain. And he wouldn't listen. And he got more upset. And he says he doesn't want me to be the manager anymore. And he wants to throw me out of my house. And he doesn't want me to have that job anymore. And he wants my family to leave. And we have nowhere to go. I had such a good job. I won't have any money and I won't have any place to live. And no matter what I do, the parrot doesn't listen. And Kinalach, shh. If something is wrong, if you have a boo-boo, what's the main thing? The band-aid on the boo-boo or what's causing the boo-boo? If you go to a doctor because you have a boo-boo, let's say you have a very not nice boo-boo that doesn't go away, and you go to a doctor, do you want the doctor to give you a new band-aid or do you want the doctor to give you a medicine that's going to take away the boo-boo? Okay, the same thing like for your body, Kinalach, is also going to a tzaddik and there's a problem. The tzaddik is going to go to the very beginning of the problem. What is causing this problem? And Kinalach, Reb Chaim, the Rebbe knew, it's not just the parrots, and it's not just what got the parrots upset, but there's something that is the beginning of the problem that's higher than all of that. And this is what Reb Chaim tells the manager of the parrots. The Rebbe told the manager, you know, I always wondered about you. How is it that you live by yourself in a town without a shul, without a minyan? You don't say amen. You don't say baruchu baruch shmoy. You don't say baruchu. You don't say kedusha. There's no Kriya Satayra. I always wondered, why would you let yourself... Now Reb Chaim explained, he says, these are things between a person and Hashem. These are how a person gets close to Hashem, a Yid gets close to Hashem, by davening, and by being connected with Hashem, by all the halakha things in davening and in shul. Shh. Now, he says, the only thing that came to my mind, why you would be in such a place and Hashem would still be happy with you, Reb Chaim says, there's only one reason I could think of that you should be in that town anyway, and that's because you have the mitzvah of hachnasas orachim. Once in a while, people come through, they have no place to stay, and you let them stay in your house. Now, why should that be a reason that you should be there? At least a reason that if you have no other choice, you could be there. And it's because the Gemara says, now listen to these words, Gedoyla hachnasas orachim mikabolas pnei hashchina. Now, that means this. There's two things. The shchina is Hashem's halakite, being close to Hashem. Kabbalas pnei hashchina, being close with Hashem. Going to shul, having a minyan, hearing Kriya Sateira, answering Amen, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, and all of these things, is Kabbalas pnei hashchina. That's the way you're close to Hashem. You're close with Hashem's halakite. But there's something greater. What's greater than that? Hachnasas orachim. So I figure, if you have hachnasas orachim, you have guests in that faraway place, that's greater than Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. So Hashem says, even though you don't have all those other things, at least you have hachnasas orachim, which is greater than Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. So He let you stay there, and you had your job, and you worked for the parrots. But if you remember a few weeks ago, you had a chance. A few weeks ago, do you remember? In the middle of the night, somebody was banging on your door and your window? Yeah. It was the Hasidim. They wanted to come in from the storm. And did you let them in? No. I didn't want to get mud all over the house and have to make a fire and get food ready and make beds. I was very tired and I just didn't feel like bothering myself. Well, that was a chance for hachnasas orachim, a very big hachnasas orachim. And if you would have done that, you would have been continuing to live where you are and have your job. But since you didn't do that, all of a sudden, was there any reason to be in that place? There was no hachnasas orachim. There was nothing that was greater than Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. And there also was not Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. So then Hashem made that the parrots should get upset at you and want you to throw you out of your house because you had no reason to be in the place. What's the main reason a person is in his place? because he has a nice house and he has money and he has a job and he goes shopping and buys stuff and he lives in his house, or because of Torah mitzvahs and serving Hashem? What's the main reason? Serving Hashem. Why should you want to live in a certain place? This is the place you can serve Hashem. And that was gone, and there was no reason to be there. Hashem made it that the poor should want to throw you out. And the manager started to cry, so what can I do? What can I do? And the tzaddik and the rebbe and Reb Chaim told him that ein davar she'em ed lifnei tshuva, nothing stands in front of tshuva. So all you have to do is accept achlata toiv on yourself, that you will be very careful from now on in hachnasas orachim. Your house will be open to anybody that wants to come in, and you'll give them food, and you'll give them a place to sleep and drink and take care of them, and you'll be very, very kind to them and your wife also, and you'll never have any bad feelings. And of course, even if it's a bother, even if it's uncomfortable, and even if it gets mud in your house, you'll still overlook those things and do hachnasas orachim. And so kinalach, the man, he made the hachlata that he will do tshuva, and he will be careful in hachnasas orachim. And the Rebbe gave him a bracha that everything should be okay. By the time he got home, a messenger from the Poritz came to his house and said, "The Poritz wants to see you." Oh no. I'm in big trouble. But then he remembered that the Rebbe gave him a bracha, and he believed in the koyach of a Rebbe, helik tzaddik. And he went to the Poritz's castle, and the Poritz said, "Listen, you know what? I was thinking it over, and what you did wasn't so bad after all. And I'm going to give you another chance to stay in your job, stay in your house, and let's see how you do. So don't worry about it. I'm not upset at you anymore, and I'm giving you another chance." And of course, kinalach, he stayed in his job. And of course, what mitzvah did he do very, very carefully, behider, from then on? Does anybody know? Who would like to tell me? What mitzvah did he do very, very carefully? Hachnasas orachim. Having guests. Thank you. Now, boys, yesterday you heard all about Netilas Yadayim, where you wash your hands, you hold it with your fingers like to the side, a little bit separated, so the water can get on your whole hand, and you learn that you should not touch your clothes and wipe your hands on your clothes. That makes you to forget Torah. And you should not touch your bread with your wet hands, because if your hands are wet and you touch bread, you could lose money, chas v'shalom, and become poor. And there's a lot of things with the Netilas Yadayim. And now today I want to tell you a very interesting story about the Netilas Yadayim. One time, the Baal Shem Tov was walking way out in the fields, way out in the country somewhere, and all of a sudden he sees a big frog. Not just a big frog like on the ground, like a big frog, a usual big frog. This was a big, big frog, as big as a person. A huge frog. Maybe not exactly like the froggy that came out from the river in Mitzrayim, the Nilus, by the Makkah of Tzfardea, but it was certainly a big frog, not the regular kind of a frog. And the Baal Shem Tov knew that, you know, this is something special to see such a big frog. And the frog was coming right to the Baal Shem Tov. And then the frog started to speak to the Baal Shem Tov. Now, I don't know if the froggy spoke like a person or if he spoke frog language. It really doesn't matter, because as we know, tzaddikim, okay, all of a sudden it's noisy. As we know, tzaddikim could speak to animals, and tzaddikim could understand the language of animals. Noach, as we know, could speak to the animals, and they could speak to him in animal languages, and he would understand them. And their maises from other tzaddikim, they could hear birds in the trees and know what they're talking about, because they knew animal languages. So it really doesn't matter if the froggy spoke people language or froggy language, but the Baal Shem Tov could probably understand either way. And the frog said to the Baal Shem Tov, "Please, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, daven for me, because I'm in big trouble." The Baal Shem Tov says, "What's wrong? And what can I do for you?" And the frog said, "I really am not supposed to be a frog, but I am a frog." And the Baal Shem Tov says, "What do you mean?" And the frog says, "Well, I used to be a Talmud Chacham. I used to be a Talmud Chacham when I lived before. But then I lived my life in the world as a Talmud Chacham, as a person who learned Torah and did mitzvahs. And then at the end of my life, I passed away, and I had to go to the Beis Din Shomaila. I had to go for the judgment. And of course, by the judgment, they decide, do you go to Gan Eden? And how high do you go in Gan Eden? What kind of a reward do you get? Or Chas V'Shalem, if other things have to happen to you before you get to go to Gan Eden. And of course, the Malachim come, who saw you doing mitzvahs, and they tell the judge all about the mitzvahs that you did. And then the malachim that saw that you, Chas V'Shalem, you did something wrong, if you didn't do tshuva, they come and tell what they saw, and the judge or the judges during the trial, they put everything together and figure out what should happen to you. And the Talmud Chacham said, when it came my turn in the Beis Din Shomaila, many malachim came and they said, I learned Torah and I did mitzvahs and I gave tzedakah and I put on tefillin and I did all kinds of good things and kept Shabbos. And then when it came time for them to call the malachim that saw me doing anything wrong, there was one malach that came. And the malach said, this Talmud Chacham should not go to Gan Eden because he was very not careful in a certain mitzvah and he did not do tshuva before he passed away because he kept on not being careful in this mitzvah. So he shouldn't go to Gan Eden. And the judges said, what was that? And they said, he was not careful in the Tilas Yadayim. The way he washed his hands, he wasn't careful. Sometimes he washed in a hurry, it didn't cover his hands. And sometimes, as we know, we're not allowed to touch. For example, when you pour the water on your hands, the water could become tamei, or the kvort itself could have tamidika water. So you have to be careful either to dry off the kvort, or some people have the minhag to use a towel, so that they do not touch the tamei water and make their hands tamei. There are many dinim in this. He wasn't careful. He wasn't careful if the kvort was dry or wet, or he touched the water that was tamei. He was not careful in al natilas yadayim. So therefore, the malach said he cannot go to Gan Eden because he was not careful in this mitzvah. And the judges, of course, are now deciding what should be. He has so many mitzvahs. How can they not let him go to Gan Eden because of all of his mitzvahs? But he did have this one thing wrong. So they decided that he has to go back into the world in order to correct what he did wrong. Now, sometimes, as we know, a person has to go back into the world. Sometimes they have to be a person again. And sometimes they have to live their life as a person just to do one mitzvah that they missed when they lived before. And the whole purpose of their life is only to do that one mitzvah. That's the one special mitzvah in their life. And sometimes the person has to come back as a thing. Like we know in the story about the barley, remember? The man came down and he was a barley in order to fix what he did wrong. And sometimes the person has to come down as an animal. And so they decided, since his Aveda was with water, he has to also come down as an animal that is made from the water. Now, who knows where the big froggy, or the froggies in Mitzrayim, where they came by the Maka of Tzfardea, where did they come out of? Who remembers?
The water.
They came out of the water. Because froggies are a nivra of mayim. They are created from water. Like the fish. Fish and froggies are created in connection with the water. So they said, he has to come down as a frog back into the world. Because he did something wrong with water. He has to come down as a froggy who's made from the water. And so he came back into the world as this big frog. But of course, do you think he was happy being a frog? No. Maybe it's going to be fun for about 2 seconds, but then, you know, if you're always a person and now you're a frog, it's not too much fun. And it's a big tsar for the person to be a frog. And so, when he saw the Baal Shem Tov, he went to the Baal Shem Tov to ask for a tikkun, a fixing for his neshama. And of course, he had done tshuva, feeling bad for what he did. And the Baal Shem Tov said, okay, I'm going to daven for you, and I'm sure everything's going to be okay. And the Baal Shem Tov davened for that Talmud Chochem, that he should be led into Gan Eden. And he turned around and he went hopping away. And of course, that was the end of the story, but we know that that froggy is no longer just a froggy. But that's the Talmud Chochem. I'm sure he was able to go to Gan Eden. And the lesson in the Maase is, of course, it's much easier to be first, be careful in Al Antil Shadayim and don't have a problem in the first place. And you wouldn't have to, be bothered with these kind of things. Go straight L'chatchila River and do the mitzvahs right. And that's the way to do it. Now, another thing from the story is that tzaddikim do all kinds of secret things, and they help all kinds of people, and even people that have become animals, and even people that did Avedas. And then the Avos Yisrael of tzaddikim is very, very interesting. Even a person after they passed away and became an animal, a tzaddik is helping them. The Baal Shem Tov fixed this person. Now, there used to be a very old man in the shul I used to daven to. When he passed away, he was over 100 years old. And he told us something he saw when he was a young boy, a long time ago, in the old country. He said that on Shabbos, there was a tzaddik in his town, that every Shabbos, after the meal, he used to go outside in his garden, and just when he went outside in the garden, birds, I think he said it was black birds, a group of black birds would come from the sky every time he went out in the garden, and they would fly around him. And he would talk to these birds, and then they would fly away. And it happened every Shabbos. He would go out of his yard, out of his house into the yard, Shabbos afternoon. Black birds would come from the sky, fly around him, he would speak to them, and they would fly away. Of course, maybe what he was doing was also, you know, neshamas that had to come down as birds for whatever reason, realized this tzaddik had the koyach to fix them, and they came to him for a tikkun. They came to him